Okay, welcome everyone. This is Richard Legg, along with Eric Farewell again, and we're on module two of the Niche Domination Secrets. So in this module, myself and Eric are going to be covering competition theory and market analysis and how to determine if a niche is going to be profitable before you go into it.
Now, before we get started, just because I'm this way, hey everybody, if you can hear me all right, if you're listening in, you're enjoying yourself already, and you enjoyed that long pause between music and speech, then I want you to just go ahead and say yes and hello. We're going to try to keep this brief and direct, and I'm pretty stoked about it, and you should be too. So, hi folks. No one says hi. They're all like, what are you even talking about? I can't believe I'm on this call right now.
It's summer fun. Okay, good. Good to see everybody else here again. See, a lot of people from last week made it again this week. Good to see.
Indeed. Indeed. I actually can't see any of the replies right now. I'm having issues with that. I'll try to shut that part down. Nope, doesn't work. So I won't see the answers, questions and answers at all. What I'm going to do is back out for a minute. Richard, your section first is going to actually be all the details anyway, so it's probably best that I'm not here.
Okay.
So if you'll take it away for just a minute, I'm going to back out. I'll be right back in.
Sure, no problem. Okay, everyone, so before we get started...
Don't forget to click record.
It's recording, don't worry.
Cheers, guys.
Okay, so before we get started, I want to just recap some important points from last week, just for anybody that didn't make it to the call or didn't get to see the recording. Again, I will be posting all the recordings, usually probably within 24 hours of the webinar going live, along with the action plan workbooks and the audios of the recordings. So from last week, there are a few key points we wanted to make sure that you really, really got stuck. And the first one was, don't worry about finding untapped markets. We talked about how a lot of people, when they go in and try and find a niche, they look for the untapped niches, the niches where there's nobody else competing. And we mentioned competition is a good thing. So just because a market is untapped, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a good one. It could be that somebody else has already tried to tap that market, found it not to be very profitable, and so just forgot about it. So don't worry about finding the untapped markets. Go with the established profitable ones. And if you're stuck for niche ideas, go to somewhere like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or even eBay, somewhere where you can find like magazines, and find what people are buying, spending money on, before you actually go digging deeper. Thirdly, don't follow your passion if it's not going to be profitable for you. I know a lot of people actually try to start with their passions, but many times passion, there's not a lot of money in that market. So don't stick with your passion if it's not going to be profitable for you.
Unless you're ridiculously lucky.
Exactly, yeah. As Eric said, sometimes you can be lucky and find that your passion is profitable, but in many times it's not the case. So again, I already said this, but competition is good. It shows you that the market has money to spend, they're willing to spend money. Just because there are competitors, it doesn't really matter. You can still find your own part of the market. And the way you do this is by creating a unique presence in an established, profitable market. So you just need to find a unique idea, a unique angle, create your own unique brand. So is everybody okay with those points so far? Everybody up to speed? Can you type in yes in the question box?
Yes, hooray. It's awesome. We're so excited. Huzzah, huzzah, huzzah.
Okay, cool.
Just to let everyone know, if I sound a little funny, I'm actually sitting in a hotel room in San Francisco right now, looking out over the harbor, I guess the bay, technically, and the airport and all that nonsense. The Blue Angels are flying about like crazy monkeys, and it's just fabulous. So that's what my scoop is and why my audio is a little off, but... hopefully you'll still be able to understand me as I chow down on beef jerky and prepare myself for this fabulous night.
Still sounds good.
All right.
Okay.
Take it away, Mr. Richard.
Thank you. Market research. So I'm going to talk about determining the search volume for a market. So a good indicator before you go diving into your niche is finding out if people are actually searching for related products online. So you pick the niche or a potential niche, and you want to find out how popular that niche is going to be. So there are lots of free tools that you can use. Eric, I'm getting an echo
Yes.
again.
Oh, I can.
Okay, so yeah, hopefully the echo is gone now. Sorry about that, folks. But there are lots of free tools you can use to do this, and I'll list a couple of them here. First one is the AdWords keyword tool. There is a word tracker keyword tool, and there is a keyword browse keyword tool. So these three tools are the three main ones that I use myself when I'm looking at different markets. And right now we're not necessarily talking about search engine optimization in terms of keywords. We're just looking at market volume, how many searches a certain market will get. So again, I'll give you the links to all these in the PDF workbook, but I'm just going to show you really quickly how each one works. So first of all, the Google AdWords tool. This is one that many people are probably familiar with. If you don't know how to find it, you just go to Google and type in AdWords keyword tool. So this essentially gives you the search results for around the top 100 related terms, as well as synonyms for those terms. If I just show you on my screen, if I can get this to come up. So, okay, here's the AdWords keyword tool. Is that showing up okay? That's good. So say you have a potential market, take weight loss, for example. That's one we know there's a lot of people searching for. So you just type in keyword, general keyword there. And this one here, use synonyms, it is good because if you don't check that, it will only return terms which contain the exact word weight loss in there. But if you use synonyms, it could return things like six-pack abs or lose belly fat. So it's not directly related to that specific keyword, but it's part of that market. So again, type in the capture code and get keyword ideas. So Google have actually changed the way they display their search results quite recently. Previously, they gave you just kind of a little green bar which showed you the more full the bar was, the more popular that term was. That's not a great indicator. So now they've actually gone and they've given you exact search results. So this can be very, very useful. So if I just scroll down the page, so we can see here all the keywords come up for weight loss. So weight loss, fast weight loss, healthy weight loss. And you've got the search volume for the market. So you've got the average search volume and the search volume for the previous month. So right here, this tells you there was over 9 million searches for the term weight loss. So as everybody knows already, weight loss is a pretty big market. There's lots of people looking for that. So already this is a really, really good indicator that that market has a very, very high search volume. And you can just click on this to organize by search volume, which just makes it easier for you to see the most popular keywords there. So you got weight loss diet, 550,000, weight loss programs, 368,000. Now, typically what I look for when I'm entering a market is anything over 50,000 for the primary keyword is usually a good indication. Obviously, this is huge numbers, so everybody knows weight loss is a huge market. But there's one thing that you really need to do when you're doing your keyword research with Google AdWords. And you see this match type over here. If you click this button here, you can choose from broad, phrase, exact, or negative. So broad is going to give you all the results. So if you choose weight loss and a broad match, that will return how many searches have weight loss somewhere in the search term. So it could be weight loss or weight loss diet. So it can give you kind of an inflated number of search terms. So what I like to do is scroll down and choose the exact option there. And what that will actually do is now it will show you how many people search for that specific phrase. So again, you can see for weight loss there, it's dropped down from over 9 million to 450,000. So it's still the number one keyword, but for people searching for the exact term weight loss there, you can see it's a lot less than for the broad match. So this can give you a really, really good indication of the true search volume, if you like, of those keywords. Sometimes if you do the broad match, it can give you an inflated one, which can be a little inaccurate. Okay, so as well as the directly related terms, so weight loss pills, weight loss products, you can scroll down. So these are all ones which have weight loss in there. As you can see, there are lots and lots of keywords. And usually then they will give you additional keywords to consider. So diet, even though it doesn't have the term weight loss in it, that's highly related to the weight loss. And diets, lose weight, diet pills, things like that. They all show you here that there are lots and lots of searches for those particular terms. So if I was going into this market straight off and I didn't know already that weight loss was a big market, this would be a clear indication that it's a lot of traffic online for the weight loss market. Does that make sense to everybody so far?
Honestly, like, for those of you listening right now, pay close attention, because a lot of people try to complicate these things and make it sound a lot more difficult than it actually is. But in reality, it's a pretty direct and obvious thing to do. You have to find the market. You have to do the background research. I'm going to talk about kind of jumping the opposite direction away from what Richard is doing.
Can't remember my name.
Initially. I know, it might help if I did that. I really should wake up for this, shouldn't I? But I've been traveling all day. It's been a long, long day. But basically, I'm giving Richard a second here to breathe and telling you all to please take good notes and watch how this works, because the simplicity of it is the beauty. And the fact that, in all honesty, the main thing you need to remember to do is to look for the brackets, look for the little buttons that he's using to make things more specific or more broad, because those are the small little secrets that you're not going to learn pretty much anywhere else. That's spending a lot of time to do it yourself. So I'm actually taking notes on this, because these are some of the things that I don't do as often as I should, because I don't know. I overlook them anymore.
I think it's
good stuff, Richard.
That's a really good point. Just a lot of places, they won't tell you how to use just these little subtleties, but they really make the difference. For example, with the weight loss term, just by changing it to exact match, it went from over 9 million to 450,000. So that's a huge drop. It's like got rid of 80% of the searches. So if you're not using that and then you get some results, they could actually be very, very inflated and give you an inaccurate story of that market. So anyway, that's the first one, how to use the AdWords tool. Let me go back to my slide so everybody can follow along. Okay, so as I said there, you want to use the exact match. So you want to use the square brackets around the keyword, and that will give you more accurate results. And you can also use the Google AdWords traffic estimator, and this will help you estimate the traffic that you can get from pay-per-click and the cost per click that you're likely to spend. So a lot of people think high cost per click means you can't get into that market. But it's just, again, it shows you that there's competition in that market, and the competition is a good thing. And if they're able to spend that money on pay-per-click, it means that they're able to make a profit from that. So again, the main key to take from that is that the market is profitable. So if I go back and show you the traffic estimator, how to use that. Okay, so I'll give you all the links again, so don't worry. So what you do is you enter in your keyword here, and I'll show you the two different examples between weight loss, and then there's a phrase match which you can use with the brackets, and this shows you everything which has weight loss as that phrase. So it may not be the exact match, just weight loss. It could be weight loss and tips, but because it has weight loss, those two words together, that appears as a phrase. And then you have the square bracket, which is weight loss, which is just that term and that term alone. And then you can scroll down and you can choose your target market here. I generally just go the United States, gives a pretty good indication, just to choose that country, and then click continue. Okay, so this will show you again search volume. You can see from these green bars, it shows you how much. So weight loss, there it shows it's a higher search volume than the exact phrase of weight loss within the brackets. Again, that's because it's the inflated version. It's not the exact match. But it's showing you there that an average cost per click of 248 with between 4,000 and 5,000 clicks per day. So those numbers look pretty big. I mean, a daily budget of 15,000 is going to be out of reach for a lot of people here. But what this means is the market is competitive. There are competitors, but it's profitable as well. Because if people weren't able to spend that money and make a profit, then there wouldn't be any competition. So this is a good way just to estimate how much kind of traffic volume you can expect to get from the search engines. And Google, I find, is probably the most accurate when it comes to giving you good results in terms of the numbers of the keywords. I'll show you another one in just a second. So I don't use just one tool. I don't think it's wise or practical to just use one tool. A lot of tools are going to give you different results, but it's how you interpret those results. So if you can see a correlation in results between different keyword tools, then you can be pretty sure that the results are somewhat accurate. But if you see something for, you know, 9 million results on one keyword tool and 0 results on another one, then something's not quite right there, so you can maybe disregard that keyword. And just to repeat, the Google AdWords there reveals the monthly search volume. So for the weight loss, it was 450,000 searches. That was searches per month. So the next tool I use, again, it's free. It's Word Tracker, and it's the free version. And it's the quite newly released Google Trends version of Word Tracker. So many of you are probably familiar with the free Word Tracker tool, but you may not know about the Google Trends version. And I'll show you how you can use this. And it's a pretty cool tool. So this one reveals daily search volume for the top 100 keywords. You don't have as much flexibility with the kind of broad phrase match and the related terms. It will just give you the directly related terms. But the trends function is useful because it allows you to see the competing page numbers in Google, as well as the daily traffic for a number one spot in the Google search results. So it can be less accurate than the AdWords tool. So as I mentioned, always compare the two sets of results. Make sure there is some correlation between them. So if I go back and show you how that one works. So I might need to refresh, timed out. So this is it. So it's freekeywords.wordtracker.com. Then it's /gtrends. So the old one was just freekeywords.wordtracker.com. So this one is a new one. So again, if we type in weight loss there, and then click the button, it's going to give us the top 100 daily searches for that term. Okay, so if we scroll down. So you can see there, again, you got weight loss, LA weight loss recipes, lower carb weight loss. Some of these didn't appear on the Google AdWords tool. So you should be kind of, again, kind of worry about those. But this little function here is the new Google Trends function. So if you click on this one, it will actually bring up a little screen and it shows you the competition and the actual visitors from a number one position in Google per day. So if you had a number one spot in Google for weight loss, you could expect 102,000 visitors per day. So obviously it's a huge amount of traffic. Again, it shows that there's a good market there, but competition, you know, it's 85 million there, whereas they recommend less than 30,000. So some of this stuff gets more into the search engine optimization side, which we're not worried about just yet. We'll get into more of that later on. But what we want to see first is that there is an actual market there and there are people searching for those terms. So can everybody follow that one so far? That's just free keywords, Word Tracker one.
It's good stuff, man. I mean, there's a lot of pretty intense stuff within that. But if everyone can keep up, basically what you're showing is exactly the ramifications of how to find this information. Now, what I'd like to hear from you a little bit, Richard, is, you know, we've talked about it a bit in the past, and there's some old school techniques I use. But what I'd like to hear is what you're looking for, what numbers you're really looking for, like what those benchmarks are. If you're looking for a niche, how many searches per month it should have. Now, obviously, I'm going to come back and slap you down and say that, you know, the most important thing is finding competition first, because competition proves market. But once you've found it and established that there is competition, what kind of numbers, not necessarily that you have to have, because every rule that is in marketing is made to be broken, but what are the numbers that are ideal that you look for, and where are those value numbers, if that makes sense?
Okay, yeah. So this is actually where the new Google Trends version of the free keywords tool comes in. I tend to look for anything for a primary keyword with around 50,000 results. So if you break that down to a daily amount, it's kind of around 1,600 searches per day. Then obviously that's the primary keyword, which might be more competitive. But what I do then is I actually look for any kind of keyword using the Google Trends that can get me around 50 to 100 visitors a day from a number one spot in Google. And this kind of shifts more to when you're looking for longer tail keywords. So weight loss, for example, you're not going to get to number one on Google for those kind of keywords. But obviously if you did, you get 100,000 visitors. what I tend to look for is around 50,000 for the primary keyword, and then anything that can get me 50 to 100 visitors per day as a longer tail keyword, those are some of the keywords that I'd focus on. Does that make sense?
I'm going to interrupt you. Tell me, how do you know whether or not you're going to have 50 to 100 visitors a day? How does that make sense?
Okay, just going by from, if you know kind of the search volume here, then it's kind of, it's not an exact science, but if you know how many searches there are per month, then most of the traffic goes to the front page results in Google. So I can't remember the exact numbers, but it breaks down something like 70% of the traffic goes to the number one position on page one. So basically, anywhere on page one, if you can get there, you're going to get a good amount of traffic. And I think it breaks down to around 10% on average. So if you can find something, say, for example, which has, say, easy numbers, 30 days in a month, 30,000 searches is a good number. So that's around 1,000 searches per day. So you can expect, if you're on the front page, depending on where you are, to get roughly around 100 visitors per day. Again, it varies with the market, but that's kind of a ballpark number that I tend to work with. Does that make sense?
Good stuff. All right. I'm with you. I'm with you 100%.
Okay.
Everybody else on the right page with them? Let's ask if you're giving the URLs out as a separate list in your emails. Yes, Les, you will have all the URLs, the PDF document that Richard puts together so freaking beautifully. By the way, did everybody enjoy that doc? Did everybody get to go through those and be impressed? No, yes, I guess. Come on, the PDF check step-by-step thing was really good. All right, Scott Bailey wants to know, have you covered anything about Keyword Elite, and do you believe it's useful?
Okay, I do actually use that myself, but I don't tend to use it as much now, particularly because Google have released the exact search results here. Keyword Elite uses the results from Word Tracker, which are a little less accurate, I find, than the Google AdWords ones. So I actually use a Google AdWords tool in conjunction with the Google Trends tool, because then I can take a keyword, type it in, and it'll give me a rough amount of competition and expected number of visitors per day for number one position. So it's kind of what Keyword Elite does, but it just takes more steps. But again, it's free. So Keyword Elite is a good tool, but you don't need it. You can do it with free tools, and most of the time I do it with free stuff all the time, just because I have my own ways of doing things, and it gives me much more freedom to do what I like. And just to clarify, I know some of this might be a bit intense for some of you, but I will be breaking it down into more step-by-step in the workbook. So hopefully, if you can follow right now, it will make more sense for you. Okay, and there was one more that I wanted to cover.
Keep going.
Okay, one more that I wanted to cover, which is kwbrowse.com. And this is a really good one. It doesn't give you search results or search numbers, but what it's useful for is picking out sub-markets and related markets for your actual keyword. So if we're typing in weight loss here, click on search. The way this tool works, once it loads up. Okay, so there are two strings here. One string, which we can see going down from right to the bottom left, is terms which have the phrase weight loss in it, so popular terms. So you've got quick weight loss diet, weight loss program. So these are all things we can pick out from the other keyword tools. But what this is useful for, the second string, is that it picks out other related terms. So you got vitamins or vitamins for Americans. You got lose weight, nutrition, diet. So these are all related markets to that main market. And this is useful for kind of digging down deeper into sub niches and sub markets within that overall market. So weight loss, as you know, is very, very competitive. You might want to dig down into something a little more specific. So exercise, perhaps. You click on exercise, and that will load up a new set of results. One, again, which will have all the exercise keywords, exercise videos, exercise bike, exercise equipment, as well as some more related market keywords. So health, training, aerobics, gym. So this is a really, really good way of just kind of brainstorming some keyword ideas, which you can then take back and plug back into the other tools to get more accurate results in terms of search numbers. So those are the main three tools that I would use. Again, they don't cost you anything. You can use paid ones.
Really cool. That is really cool, actually. I like that. It's the first time I've seen that keyword browsing actually used properly. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and it's surprising how much, how many of these tools out there for free are actually very, very useful. I mean, these kind of things I use day in, day out. So, yeah, just to summarize that one again, it's useful for determining direct related terms as well as terms that are related by theme. So you can really, really easily dig down into sub-niches from very, very broad phrase. And one thing I think this is useful for is if you have a broad market and you have a product, it's very, very easy to find sub-niches within that market where you can create the same kind of basic information, but then kind of target it for a different sub-market. So, I don't know, for example, dog training. You could have dog training your poodle, dog training your Labrador. It's the same basic information, but you can really, really dig down into sub-niches and create separate products from the same information. Okay, there was another question I wanted to answer.
Mike Moffitt, I'm going to jump in really quick. Mike Moffitt just asked, could you or Richard show us an actual example of a profitable niche that either of you developed using these methods? Mike, absolutely. I'll show some of mine. Using my methods. Now, I've used some of the methods that Richard's sharing as well, but he goes a lot more in depth into the technical analysis, whereas I just look for competitive analysis. So and that hopefully should answer your question. So yes, we will be doing that. We luckily have three more calls together, two more calls together. So have no fear. We will make sure that you see exactly how it works, and ideally, we'll show you a few markets that you'll be able to do it yourself at. So that's what we're going to work on in the next half hour.
Okay, there's one question I wanted to answer really quick as well. From Les, he wants to explain the advertiser competition. So I think that's going back to the AdWords tool here. So the advertiser competition shows you basically how strong the competition is for people on pay-per-click ads. So a green bar basically means there's a lot of competition for those keyword terms. So again, the high-end keyword is going to get a lot of competition. But as you scroll down, okay, weight loss is a pretty bad example for that. But you can see some of them, they do start to tail off. So there's less and less competition. So as you dig down into a niche, you'll find actual keywords where there's a lot less competition for pay-per-click traffic. But again, it's always a good indication that it's a profitable market if there's a lot of people advertising in there. As we said, competition is good. Even though you may not be wanting to use pay-per-click right away, it just shows you that there's a profitable market there. Is that okay? So it's not very detailed. It's not very detailed. It's just kind of a more, just a general overview. If the bar is green, there's a lot of competition. If it's not so green, there's less competition. And there are ways you can actually go in and check Google and do a search just for the sponsored ads. And in a later call, I can show you how to do that as well. Or show you in the workbook. It's very, very easy to do. Okay, so switch back again. So now you want to check out the competition. You've got a profitable niche. So remember from last week's call, there is Eric's 555 criteria. Do you want to just recap over that again, Eric?
The basic idea of what I talked about with the 555 again is you want to have five competitors, at least one of whom is making at least $5,000 a month. And you want to have access to a list, not necessarily own the list, but you want to have access to a list of at least 5,000 people. Now, the reason I have these in place, and again, each of these rules is designed to be broken because as you build your knowledge base and as you build your acceptance of risk, because I don't know if I told the story. Did I tell the story about zigging and zagging, my Irish buddy?
Yeah, Richard. You did.
Yeah, I did. So, you know, when you have the freedom to fail over and over again, you can start breaking these rules a lot. But when you're in the beginning stages where you're wanting to make sure that you succeed, these are really good ramifications to make sure that they keep you safe. They make sure that your time, your money, etc., has not been wasted. Because if you have five competitors, at least one of whom is making $5,000 a month or more, and you have access to a list of at least 5,000 people, I can pretty much guarantee you'll make money. And I can't really say that for the SEC violations, but I know that it's pretty, you have a pretty darn good chance of making money. So, you know, there's, it's pretty hard to screw that up, if that makes any sense, especially if you follow some of the systems we're going to talk about with niche domination and actually stepping in. And once you've chosen the niche, which is kind of what we're going to try to get through tonight, in the next 40 minutes or so, and then what you can do to step up and actually make your site different, better, et cetera, and where the value is in the niche, instead of just being, you know, one more site. So Lauren asks, how do you determine how much they're making and how big a list they have access to? Perfect question, Lauren. Richard, let's go ahead and go through these slides as quickly as possible. I don't know what else.
Okay.
Just go ahead and throw up like two or three bullets at once for me.
So you're going to start with digital products. Go to clickbank.com, and you want to search through the marketplace. So this is divided into 9 main categories and things around 94 different subcategories. So most of you are probably familiar with this already. So if we just go in real quick. And let me move this out of the way. Okay, so ClickBank Marketplace. So when you first load it up, you get the choice of searching between different categories. So if we choose health and fitness, subcategories. So you can choose, go through here, and it will list the competitors on there in terms of, it's called gravity or this popularity. Popularity. Popularity, I think, is based on sales volume, whereas gravity here is based on the number of unique affiliates who have made a sale for that product in a certain time period. So the two are kind of related.
It is. Really quick, Richard, it's not solely related on that, actually. It's also related on the sales volume as well. I'm not sure how they balance it. It's, you know, one of those algorithms that I don't know all the keys behind.
Okay.
For instance, when I do a launch, my gravity, even though I only have one affiliate usually working on a launch for me in a small niche, maybe two affiliates, my gravity ends up between 12 and 24. And sometimes I'm number one in sales in that marketplace during that period of time. But the gravity is actually not bad. 12 to 24 is not bad gravity. And I know there's only two affiliates promoting it because I'm watching those sales come in. So I'm not sure exactly how it's defined. I just know that what you're looking for, I look for gravity. First off, I look for sales. Like, you know, I don't mind having no gravity, have no affiliates promoting it. But if there's a good, they're high on the sales ranking, they're, you know, up there where they're making 20, 40, 60, 80 grand a month, I know it's to make money no matter how many affiliates they have. So I don't know if that makes sense. But I'm trying to confuse you guys a little bit more because it is pretty detailed. There is a lot of, you know, a lot of confusion within these things. There are a lot of different integers that come into play. So, all right, Richard, you can go back to your explanation, my friend.
Okay, that's pretty much all I was going to say. Is that you want to look for the products if they have a high gravity and they're doing a high sales volume, then you can be pretty sure that they're making a good amount of money. Now, Eric, you know a bit more about this than I do. Is there a way of correlating the position on the page between the amount of money they're making or the number of sales they're making? I suppose it depends on the market.
And you know this pretty well, Richard. I don't really talk about this, so if you guys hear this, I wish we could strike it from the recording, but we really can't for everyone else's sake. When you're looking at ClickBank, the only way to be able to tell how much money they're making is to have been near the top in almost every market yourself. Now, I've been lucky that myself or my clients have been near the top of almost every subcategory on ClickBank. So that stated, you guys get to tap into my brain a little bit to get some ideas for what kind of money you'd be expecting. In health and fitness, you're looking at between high five and mid six figures for the number one spot, because that's a ridiculously competitive market. You know, let's say ridiculously competitive market. Obviously, you look at gravity at 302, 92% of their sales are referred. We're looking at the number one right here on the ClickBank page. Okay, so you have a lot of interest in that market. Now, I will tell you really quick, let me give you a list of the markets I don't go into personally. And it's because I am a lazy marketer, because I'd rather make a little bit of money easily than a lot of money hard. All right, so by a little bit of money, I mean 20 grand instead of 50 grand. So what I look to do is I go into markets that don't have that much competition, whose markets haven't been trained to expect perfection, and who, you know, they aren't really uptight. They're excited about having their problems solved. So for instance, I don't go into the health and fitness market. Not because it's a bad market. Obviously, it's a fabulous market, but you get into a lot of legal ramifications with the health market, and you also have an incredible amount of really, really talented competition, people who know what they're doing, who will quite possibly love the market better than you do, and when that's the case, you want to avoid it. I also avoid the legal markets, anything that has to do with business law, personal law. I actually been looking at starting up a couple of marriage counseling ones that I have. The guy who's creating the product is a divorce attorney, so there will be some law stuff brought into it, but there'll be lots of disclaimers, etc. Because I just want to avoid any kind of trouble like that. It's not worth it to me to make, you know, 100 grand and have anyone harass me for it. So I'd rather get into markets that are very easy. So again, first market I'm going to choose health and fitness. Next one is anything that's legal. And the third one I usually don't sell in. Like this is one of the first courses I've ever done teaching other people how to do what I do, is business development, how to start, you know, opportunity seeker stuff. Now I've done it for other people, I've helped my clients do it, but personally I haven't, because honestly, and no offense to everyone on this call, but a little bit of offense because we're all in the same boat. you guys are the hardest people in the world. The worst customers in the world are people who are opportunity seekers, people who are trying to find their niche, people who are trying to figure out what it is they're supposed to do and how they can find liberty and freedom. And the reason for it is because they're putting, when someone buys a product from you that is teaching them how to make money, you're teaching them how to change their life, they're putting their hope in you, and they're willing to pay you to hold their heart, to hold that peace. And I don't know how you guys handle relationships, but relationships are pretty sketchy when you hold someone's heart, because you have to really value that. And if there's anything you do, even accidentally, you can very much damage that relationship. So I find that the easiest markets to get into, we talked about this in the last call, you stay away from the internet marketing market where you're trying to sell to other marketers, not because there's not money to be made, because there certainly is money to be made, but because it oftentimes is a very difficult market to break into, because you have to create a unique individual and you have to be able to follow through and offer something that is unique with proof. All right? Now that I've explained the markets I don't get into, which is, again, legal, health, and business to business, I like to get into markets that are very easy for me to write for, easy for me to get excited about. If you look at a lot of my marketing, you guys can probably find them if you look really hard and you know how to hack into the ICANN databases and everything else. You'll discover most of my markets, or many of my markets, I can't say most now, it's almost 51% of my markets are in the sports arena. Because sports and recreation is an easy market to get to. In fact, Richard, we have a little bit of time here. Why don't you go over, my goal for this call we talked about last week was to be able to go through ClickBank and show you some markets that can give you an idea of, you know, what kind of money you can expect to make, you know, whether or not the markets will be profitable, that kind of thing. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and click sports and recreation for me, Richard. I wish I could do this for you and show you, but I'm on a Mac and YouTube webinar is just not quite progressive enough. All right. Now you notice this is the primary category. This is going to be all of them. Now if you look, you have run a car on water, number one. Number three is convert your car using gas for free, right? Now, the problem is that market, though a fabulous market, is extraordinarily saturated. If you get on Google and you search water for gas, you're going to discover hundreds of products now. Hundreds of products. It's remarkable. Now, about a year and a half ago, I have a friend who actually used this market, and he made a ton of money because he was right at the forefront. But now it's very difficult to get involved in that, and this is... Again, really quick, Richard, go to Google, search water for gas, just to show this, prove it really quick. All right, just to show how you have, you know, a lot of competition and why it's an issue. You notice water for gas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They aren't showing ads for that anymore, are they?
Google actually stopped the ads for that, I think, because there was a lot of people who were complaining about the products.
So I completely forgot about that. That's another major indicator that there's actually a problem. If Google stops the ads, like the gambling niche is a difficult niche to get into because of the advertising. But if you're good at SEO, if you learn Richard's traffic and cut course, that kind of thing, you can make a ton of money. teaching people how to gamble. So, yeah, just to go through, I see 1, 2, 3. Keep scrolling a little bit, scroll on the page. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I mean, every single one of these is a different site. There are a couple of them that are you know, the same site, but they're all going to be offering different products. So, I mean, obviously that makes some sense. You can see why that would be a good market to get into, but it's a little oversaturated. It's like selling the business to business or the health and fitness. You have so many competitors that it's hard to stand out. It's hard to make a difference. All right, show me that last tab again. Scott wants to know what Google stopped doing. Google stopped serving ads. It stopped allowing advertising for water for gas products. Yeah, products that teach you how to turn water into hydrogen. Because they were having so many issues with customer service from people who were buying from us. So let's go ahead and go up here to subcategory. Click that, and let's go to, you notice these basic subcategories. I want you guys to take careful notice of this. If you're ever looking for basic ideas of what good markets are, not what good products are, but what good markets are, all you have to do is go into any major category at ClickBank, and then you go to any major subcategory on ClickBank. Now, when I say that, it's because if you look at these, they aren't good products, but they're fabulous markets. Now, autos, water for gas, how to buy get a car for free, how to get your car wrapped with the advertising, you know, how they do that. New products, obviously that makes sense. New products is just whatever's the latest, greatest products that are just coming out. Golf, it's a market I'm very heavily invested in. I've had a lot of products in that market over the years. It's a great market. Again, that's a market that's very intelligent, because there are a lot of products in that market. In fact, let's click that. Let's click that one really quick, Richard.
Golf.
All right, golf. Dun, 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 dun. All right, the Simple Golf Swing. Official How to Break 80. That's my buddy's site. Instant Slice Cure, Golf Fitness Guide, another friend's site. Now you start looking at these. The gravity is only 64.39 for the top one. Now, if you guys remember the gravity we were looking at before in the health and fitness market, and the fitness category, and the fitness subcategory of the health and fitness market was like 300 something. So you can see why, yes, they may be making more dollar value, because they, you know, people, these don't want a major list. You'd see that one was making more sales. But the Simple Golf Swing, I will guarantee you, takes less work. And then, you know, there's ways you could find this out by using my favorite tool. I like to go to Google. You can go back to Google for me. Actually, you know what? Click Simple Golf Swing first. Let's open that up. It's golfswingguru.com. All right. Go back to Google. And again, guys, you guys are getting this coaching is like the most raw and kind of odd coaching ever, because I'm just telling you the way I would tell Richard to do this in real life. So he convinced me to let you listen in, and that's what you're getting. All right, go up to the search bar, type link or links, colon, and then in a
Golf Swing Guru.com.
This is my favorite tool right here. This is it. This tool makes me more money than anything else out there, because all it does is it shows me what the backlinks are. All right, where they're getting their backlinks. Now, that's all they have for backlinks. Can't be right.
Let me try without the
end. Help me find more backlinks.
There's actually a good tool that I'll share with you if you want as well.
Yeah, please do. There's one that I actually just heard about that's even that Dr. Mike's been telling me that I have to check out.
Okay.
But so I don't do this enough anymore. I have too many of my own markets. All right, so you get some good ideas. So you have Par Golf. They're linking to them. Golf Information, Golf Vacation Online, Corrected Golf Swice, Swing Trainers, E-Zine Articles. You can see he has a lot of articles out there. You can start to get an idea of where he's getting his traffic. You can also do this on Alexa. I like to use Alexa to look for related sites. You can actually type in related colon golfswingguru.com. That one works too. I oftentimes type in site colon golfswingguru.com, which brings up a lot of the information on what is actually in the site, like what they have available, how many pages they have, etc. I think, is that the right, is it site? Richard, you're better at assessing this stuff. I'm just talking about what I do when I need to.
Yeah, they'll bring up all pages. Google has indexed for that domain.
So you see that they have 527 pages. Now, this is impressive because it shows that they've really heavily invested themselves in the SEO side, because for a niche site, now if you go to, go up there, back up to the search bar site, where it says site, go ahead and take a, say, site colon golfballguidebook.com. This is funny. All right, now this site, the last time I launched it, because I haven't plugged any SEO into it, I haven't done any PPC for it, I haven't released any articles for it, I've done nothing, simply because it's not my expertise. I have a couple of, this is one of our next ones on our team's checkup list, because it's been over a year. We're going to relaunch it to the same list again, but this site did, it's like $18,000 or $20,000 in sales on a $37 ebook. The first day or first 3 days we released it. And that's kind of my average. That's what I look for. And the thing is, I have no backlinks. I have nothing else. So my thing, and the reason I'm doing this call with Richard, is because Richard agreed to help me out with some of those backlink problems and training some of my staff, because it's not my specialty. So if you can take this information, you see Golf Ball Guidebook, that has no backlinks, and obviously is not the number one most popular on ClickBank. Now, when it was launched, I think it made it to number four or number six that week, because it made 20 grand. It was like, they're like, wow, that's pretty good sales or whatever. So it jumped up. But simple fact of the matter is, the other site was making more money even then. Even though it was doing 20 grand in a day or 2 days or whatever it did, a year ago, the Golf Swing Guru site made more money, so it stayed on top. So how to break 80. All right, so those sites obviously have something they're doing right. Type site colon how to break 80. It's HOWTO break the number 80.
.com.
All right, when you look at this, this is one of the most impressive. To me, this is probably the most impressive, though. He's number two. If you look at how many pages, there's 768 pages up here in the top right corner. 768 different pages that are linking or that are on this site that have been indexed already. Now, this is a friend of mine said, this is one of my business partners in the golf market. He helped me launch the Golf Ball Guidebook because it made sense for his market to have a product like that. All right? Are you guys with me? Am I making sense to everybody on this call? I need some feedback here. Scott's the only one that's talked to me in the last 20 minutes. This is just ridiculous. All right, I got Scott. Scott's still talking to me. Kevin's with me. Mike's with me. Casey's there. Hey, Casey. All right, so really quick, Pam's asking a question of you.
Yeah.
What is the bar under each ad that is showing position, PR, and links?
That's the kind of tool I'm going to share with you. This is actually a plugin. I'm using the Firefox browser right now. And if you go to Google and type in SEO, Firefox. Eric, could you mute speakers again?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you go to Google and you type in SEO Firefox. That's a plugin for Firefox browser. And what it does is when you go to Google, it will give you all this information about each listing. So for this one, we can see howtobreak80.com. It's got a page rank of 3. It says that the site is, 2004. Then there are other things here. So how many times it's been bookmarked on Delicious. And two kind of really important ones are these links. This is for the number of links pointing to that domain on Yahoo. And then this one here is the number of links pointing to that particular page. So like some of the things we did just now where we typed in link, colon, and then the domain name, this one here will actually show us quite easily just the numbers in the actual search results for each of the listings. So we can go in, if we click this link here, this will load up the Yahoo Site Explorer, and then you can use it to find out where the links are coming from. So it'll give you all the different results of all the pages linking to that site. So it's a really, really good way of quickly going through the search results and kind of gauging your competition from an SEO perspective. So if you go through and you find that there are lots of listings with high numbers of links to the pages, it's going to be more difficult to rank for those keywords in the search engines. And this one here is the page links. So this is just for the specific page. So you can see these are all for the howtobreak80.com domain. So they're all the same domain. They're all going to show the same number of links to that domain. But what is going to vary is the number of links to the specific pages. And what you want to do when you're doing SEO is if you've got different pages, you want to get links to each of those pages as well. So we see one of the things he could improve here is getting more backlinks to each of his individual pages. So he's got two links to that page there, one link to that page. So this is just one of the tools that I use to go through and really, really quick to kind of determine what the competition is like from an SEO standpoint. Does that make sense?
Kids today, this is exactly why mastermind groups and people who you can respect and talk to will make you and save you so much money and time. Because I'm here to tell you, that right there saves me from having to type site and links and all other things. And I see this every time it comes up automatically. It's a lifesaver. So rock on, dude. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it's just a simple plugin. Just SEO Firefox.
Absolutely awesome. All right, so jumping back here really quick, I want you guys to remember one of my mantras. One of my mantras is simple. If you have a market that has those elements we need, the 555, right, then we know it's going to be profitable. Now, how can we know that we can make ourselves profitable within this, right? How do we know that we can make a site that will also be profitable? And this is, it seems to me now, it seems insanely easy because I figured it out. I figured out what the solution was. Now, for years, when I first got started, I felt like I had to create something that worked. And I see other products in the same market that were just rocking it out, making great money, showing a lot of potential, had great backlinks, all these things. I'm like, how do I get to use that? How do I get to have that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So you guys want that secret? Can I give you the 10-second secret to your ultimate success or doom, your choice? Please from Pam. We got one please. I don't know. I'm just going to have to message this just to Pam and Kevin. It's just for you guys now. Give it to us. All right. All right. So I got five. I think that's enough to share it with all 29 of you who are being so freaking silent. It's ridiculous. If we were in a room right now, we were talking, and I just sat here and talked for an hour, and you never said anything to me, I would probably slap you in the face and ask you to leave. Just ask John from the first call. The John or Jim. So something like that.
It's John.
All right. So here's your secret. You guys ready for the secret? It's very simple. It's very direct. If you see a site in a market that you know is making money, you have no question of this. It's profitable. They're paying for advertising. If you go right now and you search Break 80 Golf or something like that, or how to Break 80, you're going to find that there are advertisers on Google that are searching for this. Let's see if it comes up there. I'm sure that there's something like this, or how to play better golf. Break 80 today. All right, you look over here, you start going to see how to break 80 secret, how to break 80 scam, how to break 80, how to break 80 golf book, how to break 80 on Amazon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're seeing all these different ads on the right side of the page that are being paid for. These are ads that people are paying per click. They're actually literally spending money, their hard-earned cash, on this. So you can. There are a couple of tools. I'm not sure what the latest and greatest are. Google Goggles apparently is good. Google Cache is good. That will actually monitor this for you. I do it the old school manner. I actually, once I see a market, I write down that market, and I will go in and maybe once a week for 3 or 4 weeks, I'll just go in and I'll search a couple of the basic search terms that I think are the most profitable or would be the most profitable. And I'll just see if they're still paying for those same ads. If they're changing their ads and testing a lot of different word choices in their ads, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if I see consistently that the same ads for the same websites are being displayed, so people are, you know, they're spending money on these ads, I know that if they're spending it, they better be making it. Now, I was speaking in Florida, in Sarasota, Florida, this past March or June or something, and I said that, and somebody in the back of the room, I'm a little harsh when I speak, and I said, you know, anyone who's paying for an ad that isn't making money is an idiot. There's no one in this room that would do that. And there's some lady in the back of the room raises her hand, and I almost cried for her. It was bad. So anyway, if you're paying for ads, you're not making money, you're an idiot. Don't do it, please, for the love of God. It's just not worth it. So jumping back into it. Now, again, we're talking about the primary secret. You have established that they are making money because they're spending money on advertising. You've established they're making money because they're ranked high on ClickBank. Their competition is ranked high on ClickBank. Because sometimes you'll find that the product you want to create is not on ClickBank itself. You know, they're actually, you know, there are lots of competitors that have similar products, but not the product you want to create that's most similar to yours. All right, so what you do is you look to see if you have competition that's highly ranked on ClickBank, and you grow that from there. Now that you have those integers in place, here's what you do. Go back, click back one for me really quick, Richard.
That one?
All right, step one is you want to take the pages they have on the SEO side, and instead of trying to figure out how you can create something that'd be different and better and work and all those other problems and understand something that, you know, could be all yours, guess what? It's a business. This isn't your passion. Your passion is freedom. Your passion is hope. Your passion is a lifestyle. The passion is not about being the most unique. The passion is about having something that works. So they have 768 pages of content. I know these pages are strong with content because they have a weekly newsletter. The newsletter is excellent, and it's very teaching. It also sells very well. Now, each of those newsletters is posted on a page. In fact, if you look down, second to the last link on the page, it says, Stop Slicing Golf DVD Instruction, How to Draw the Ball. All right? Stop Slicing, Learn How to Draw the Ball. Now, if my new DVD doesn't that actually is a, I think that's a sales letter page. But a lot of these pages are going to be very intensive free training. You know, stuff that they're giving away to encourage people to you know, buy their products in the future. Now, the first step you have to do is, and I use this term very kindly, borrow from your competition. Figure out which of their articles are the highest rated. Now, if their page, like right now, if you were to go in and search Stop Slicing Golf DVD or Stop Slicing Instructions, something like that, you're going to find that page is probably very highly ranked. Now, if you're selling a slice DVD, a DVD or a book on how to stop slicing your drives, that'd be a term you want to rank high for. So you see what is in their article that works, and you recreate that article. You have a new article written. You can write it yourself. You can record a video on how to transcribe, record audio on how to transcribe. Getting content is insanely easy. It's very inexpensive to do. We're going to talk about content sometime in the future. Hopefully we'll have time to get into, you know, how you can have products created, how you can do it yourself. You know, you can ask Richard. Do you guys remember his Traffic Uncut course? Anybody on here buy that? I'm sure you did. It's a really fabulous course. Anybody remember Traffic Uncut? Kevin doesn't. Scott does. Pam does. Kevin, come on, man. Get with the times. This is exciting. TrafficUncut.com. It was Richard's last course. And Richard's literally slaved away on that project for months to knock it out, to make sure that it actually had, you know, high quality content. And some of the content in that, I will tell you, I was at the original Traffic Secrets workshop that with Traffic Secrets were recorded that John Reese did. You know, I've seen a lot of these traffic programs, that kind of thing. And the content that Richard gave out is so incredibly exceptional. That's one of the greatest reasons why we're still talking, why we're still friends. So you guys should definitely check that out. But the problem with the way he developed it was that it took him months to do it. For about the same amount of money that he made a couple weeks ago, we came up with an idea, and I think it took us about 72 hours to implement it, and 72 hours between concept to creation, and about 4.5 to 5 hours of time to actually create the product. And that made you over $10,000, didn't it, Richard, something like that?
Yeah. It was kind of depressing how much time I spent on the other one compared to how quickly we were able to create a new product.
Well, exactly, and we're kind of doing the same thing here, too, where you're creating a very good, you know, product that's helping a lot of people at once, but we're doing it in a live manner. Now, we're going to try to talk, I only tell that story because, A, I want you to check out Traffic Uncut because it's freaking excellent, and if you don't have it, you need it, but B, I want you to have a realization there are a lot of ways to create products, and it don't ever let products hold you back from marketing, because the product side is the thing that keeps most people held back. It takes most of their time because they feel as if that's the most important one. Really, it's the easiest thing to solve, the easiest problem to solve. All right, jumping back, way back in the conversation before I get distracted, I apologize. We're talking about how you can develop a site that is guaranteed to make money, just like How to Break 80 is guaranteed to make money. Step one, you see the site, the pages on their site that are bringing them the most traffic, that are making their site worthwhile, all right? You create pages like them on your site. You guys with me? Heck to the yes? Yeehaw. We're at 6:59 right now. We're supposed to be ending in a minute. I promised Richard's wife that I would have him done by 7:15, so I'm going to have to kick him off in 15 minutes, so you guys are going to have to bear with me. But apparently Adam's been very crying today, so you guys should just all feel sorry for Richard. But anyway, so step one is to create the pages that they have that are working, all right? So if you can see that they have pages that are working, which in this case we can see they have 768 pages that are on their site that are bringing them traffic, all right? That are building their SEO, that are building their brand, that are offering free content, that are offering a lot of value, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's all great stuff, right, guys? Good things. Agreed? Yay! I love as soon as I say that, like, it's just the little counter jumps, and I start getting yeses from my favorite, like, 8 people who always reply to me. You guys were rock. All right, now, if you don't mind, really quick, I want to show the next step. We have a few minutes left before I knock over a glass of water on my desk here at this hotel room. Go up to the top of that page really quick, Richard.
Okay.
Type in, you can go back. Actually, just go back one. All right. I lied. Type in links on howtobreak80.com. Or link or whatever it was. Whatever the one that we saw that showed us all the different links. So cool that you discovered. It might have been Yahoo links, actually. I don't remember.
Can use that one if you want.
What's that?
Do you want to use the Yahoo one? Will give you a more complete breakdown than Google.
This is fine for now.
Okay.
The only reason I want to show this to you is this is your next step. All right, everybody sees this, and we can go through ClickBank again, and I can show. I'll actually show one of my favorite markets to show off about domination. I use it in my presentation to give you some ideas, but. Right here is your next step once you have the market. Now, you don't have to use Golf. In fact, if you want to use Golf, sweet, because I can always use more products to sell, and I can always use another list to market to, so please build a Golf list I can sell to. But when you look here, and it says link, how to break 80, you see first one is Coaching News Online. Click that for me, Richard. Why is this linking to How to Break 80? Let's find out. Why is this the number one most important link that Google finds to be the most relevant link? This is interesting. The best college basketball coaching site, period. Now, I have a question. I don't know why this site linked to them. If I took time, I could research through and figure out where they had it. But why is that powerful? Why is it an important link? Obviously, this site has a high enough ranking on Google's mind to value that link. All right. My assumption is there it is. How to Break 80. That is a paid-for link. Right. His number one site is bringing him the most SEO value for links he paid for. Now, if you guys want to know a really dirty little secret of the internet marketing world, yes. All right. The dirty little secret is simply the fact that when you have a site like this, that chances are isn't making any money or barely any money. You can pay them $100 a month on the high end, sometimes as little as, you know, $100 a year to put a solid link on their page. Now, I've done this in dozens of markets. We could talk some about social networking and getting people to sell you their signatures and a lot of the stuff I teach, but this is a powerful, powerful thing. I had a site, I can't give out the market. But I had a site, still have it, and I was receiving over 60% of my traffic from a link I paid $240 a month for. That was a text link, and I received over 85% of my sales through one text link that I paid $240 a month for. Now, if I'm paying $240 a month, can you imagine making pretty good money with that site? I mean, that site is like, in its prime, it was over $10,000 a month. I don't know what it's doing right now. For $240 a month in advertising, that was my total advertising cost. Total. All right? So when you find a market like this, what you want to do, golf is a bad market for this kind of thing because, as you can imagine, golf.com and sites like that, golfing.com, are all going to be pretty well educated site owners. Whereas my buddy with How to Break 80 was smart, and he said, well, what are other high-rated sites where people might be finding me or might want to find me, and how can I get on them without spending much money? CoachingNewsFreakingOnline.com? I mean, really? Is that weird? Yeah, that's weird. All right, so If you're in a smaller market, you can get on websites, for instance, the homeschool market, the parenting market, those kind of markets. You can get on their like homeschool.com or something like that for probably $150 a month. You can get on the homepage. You know, you can actually have great keyword relevance. You can be incorporated into articles. You can write articles for sites like that that are ranked number one in the market and link back to your site. All right. Now, I'm not here to talk to you about SEO. That's more of Richard's area. But these are things that you can do. This is your next step. Once you have the market, you start creating the same content pages that the market offers. Then you start creating the same links. You don't have to have the exact same links, but chances are 98% of the time, if you find a site or a market that you like, a product idea that you like, you can find out that a lot of their product, a lot of their links that are coming to them are coming from articles, from blog comments, from forum signatures, from random advertising, banner ads, and text ads. I like text ads better because of the keyword relevance. That's just me. And I may be wrong on that. It may not be necessary, and Richard can answer that for you better. But basically what I'm telling you to do here is see what your competition is doing right and then model it. It's not that hard to do. All right, let's go back to the a page really quick, Richard.
Okay.
You guys with me so far? You like this? You like this so far? Neil, yes, it'd be good if not a lot of alternative advertisers on that site. Absolutely. You do not want to have a lot of alternative advertisers. There are two different sides to this point. First off, it depends on what your goal is, because my goal is usually when I'm buying advertising, it's not to make sales, it's to increase the value of my page by increasing the link value. Does that make sense to you? Because that's a little bit different than most people, because most people are wanting to make sales immediately with that advertisement. I'm wanting to build long-term value in my website, because the more links I have coming to my site, the more value that site offers, et cetera, et cetera. All right? Let's go to the number two link really quick, Richard. We're just going to burn through this really quickly.
Okay, so 6 o'clock.
I highly recommend getting DSL or something, you know, breaking away from dial-up.
Man, I have Comcast. Right. It's supposed to be high-speed.
That's right. Perfecting Your Chip Shot. This is by Jack Morehouse. This is the author of, or the character who is actually the author of How to Break 80. And you see this is an article page. Now go back up to the top. I want you to see here, it says approved articles. Now this is the number two most important link coming to the site according to Google. It's an article site. Do you think you can submit your article to the site? Can you take your mouse really quick and pull it to the right, Richard? Right to the right toolbar, down, pull it down. Down to the right, all the way right. See where it says submit articles? So where it says submit articles on the right side? Yeah, there you go. Look at that. Look at that. You know what you just did? Click submit articles, and all of a sudden, you get that link too. It's so amazing. I know. It's this is such rocket science, isn't it, guys? By the way, sorry, I'm a little sarcastic. But really, like, this is the easiest thing in the world to do. This is direct. It's easy. I mean, I am blown away by how complex people make it. All right, let's go back to ClickBank because we have 7 minutes. I have to get through some of this because we've only made it to like two of our slides. All right, sports and recreation. Let's go back up to family, home and family, I think it is. Home and family, subcategories. Let's look at parenting. Go. All right, for years, the number five position here used to be the number one. All right. Now, for some reason, Alabama Records.info, pick the gender of your baby, run water with water, and my out-of-control teen are now better markets than starting a child daycare. Now, I think all of those markets are very good. Alabama Records would be difficult to knock off and develop something like it. Pick the gender of your baby, not difficult to create something like it, and you can actually have great value in that because it's a health issue. It's something that people are extremely passionate about, and it's a market that's obviously making money. Why? Because we have a high gravity, we have a high popularity, and I would bet that right now if you go to Google and search, and you can do this yourself on your own time, there are people paying for ads on picking the gender of your baby. All right, you see how this bit follows a cycle, it follows a system? I mean, my brain is a little wild, a little weird, a little wacky, but it actually does have a purpose, so work with me on this. My Out of Control Teen, another very powerful book concept, because it's something that parents are extraordinarily passionate about, trying to figure out how the heck they're supposed to make their kids stop acting like they did when they were 18. Right? Poor Richard. He's got so much hell ahead of him. All right. Number five is the one I want to talk to you about tonight, the next 6 minutes we have left together. And that's because I actually have a product in this market. I've launched it once before. It's fairly successful. Not as successful as we expected to because the launch didn't go off. But, I mean, still, I'm not going to say no to five figures at any time. So, click number five, starting a child daycare. This is not my site. I'm actually about to re-release ours in a whole new way. It's freaking beautiful, and I'll show you that page. All right. You guys can all see this freaking fabulous, ugly, hideous site here. Welcome to Starting Each Day at Daycare Center. We offer a complete business package to help you easily and quickly start your own profitable home-based daycare business. All right. Do you guys think this is good copy? Can I please get a, oh, hell no, heck no, this is terrible, this is not good? Okay, thank you, Bob, thank you, Kevin, thank you, Pam, thank you, Jeep. We're on the right track. All right, you guys see why there are problems with this. The site is ugly, the design is ugly, everything about it is ugly. Now, the one thing that they're doing right is they have a daycare success newsletter. They're gathering information. That's not a bad thing, all right? That's a good thing. Now, I wouldn't do that on a sales page, which is what they're doing. But they're trying to do it on their copy page. And Lynn says it's not even copy. Honestly, Lynn, this is copy. Anytime you're trying to sell something, it's copy. It may not be good copy, but it's copy. Really quick, Richard, up above and to the left, I'd like you to click about the kit for me. We can talk about copy, too. We need to have like 50 calls here, guys, if you just rad, all right? So you're serious about starting your own daycare center. There's a lot to think about, blah, 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 blah. Their bullet points are their table of freaking contents. Can you see how idiotic this is? Their bullet points are their table of contents. They don't talk about the value. They don't talk about the benefits. They don't talk about what it will do for your life. They don't talk about how it will change your life. They don't talk about how it will make you feel. They don't talk about the kind of money you can make or the kind of things you can actually experience when you become a part of this. No, they're making money with the ugliest, dumbest site with the worst sales process in the world in a market that I know, having been to the top of this market, is worth at least $15,000 to $25,000 a month. And they're doing it with a crappy site. All right? Do you guys think you can do better than this? You think this is good? All right. So, really quick, Richard, let's go back to ClickBank. Actually, you know what? Just open a new tab. Mancy or Control-T and go to daycarestartupsecrets.com. I'm going to just full on disclosure here. I'm going to show you mine. This is my answer to that site. What do you think? A little bit better? Nice. Do we like this? Is this pretty? Scroll down a bit, brother. You guys can give me this copy, daycarestartupsecrets.com. Actually, there's a few things I'm doing to change this just to help you understand. Because I told you in the first call, I'm full disclosure, I'd rather share with you exactly what I do and why I do it. The mom here, Jessica. Jessica is too young of a name for a mom, and she's too hot. So we're putting a less hot mom in. Jessica does not exist. We'll talk. Hopefully we'll have some time to talk about creating pseudonyms and characters, that kind of thing, because Jessica does not exist. Now, the wavy page, my web team created this concept, and it's actually a hypnotic system. It does work. There are some elements of it that we're still looking to change. I like to put an extra enter. Hold on for 1 second. If you see where it says, I cracked the daycare code, when you're formatting your page, this is just one of my little secrets that increases your conversion. It's not extensive, but it helps the way the eyes flow to actually allow the brain to have time to think through and notice and recognize a pause, much as you would in conversation. If I'm going to have something that's important to say to you right now, I'm going to put an emphasis on it, and I'm going to put a pause, a lean in, because if you were watching me person to person right now, you'd actually be trying to pick up on my body language too. So I try to put body language and pauses in the design of the page. So where it says, I cracked the daycare code, right now it's not done right because we haven't launched this yet. You click beside it and hit enter one more time. So there'd be two spaces between the bullets above it and the I cracked the daycare code. Does that make sense, everybody? Is that easy? All right, so if that makes sense, all right, everybody's got it. Cool. Because what you do when you have that kind of separation, it allows there to be a little bit more, I call it eye rest, because you want to keep your page tight enough that the eye doesn't have to travel very far linearly across it. and you want to have enough space between your elements that it actually gives your eye a chance to breathe, because your eyes actually will get tired. If you ever look at a page that's just a solid text without having any paragraphs, you're screwed. You hate reading it. All right, so that's just my little geeky tip for the day. you can see how much of a difference good design makes. We're actually going to be having to test these colors a good bit, because I'm not sure that blue will be the most powerful color. But this is one of those things that it's we get involved with. Now, going back over to Google, where we were, I'd like to pull up starting a daycare. That's not it. Come on. All right. Startingadaycare.com.
Are you on the full URL?
Yeah, let's go to links. I'm actually, your wife's gonna hate me, dude. It's just totally
okay.
Gonna hate me.
No problem.
No, Scott says he's never seen the curved page design before. You never have. That's because I'm an originator, baby. We do things right. All right, you can see here they have, what is their number one? Discover South America. Why that is important? Apparently, it was Postmaster email server. So my thing with this site was I couldn't figure out where they're getting their traffic, and I'm still working to figure all this out. I can't reveal all the secrets of what they're doing, because I'm still watching this market myself. But you know, again, full disclosure, this is how it makes sense. This is how it works. Pull it up for me, Richard. Click her on. All right, so you guys are with me so far. We're keeping Richard from his children, but you know, whatever.
It's just the one at the moment.
That's okay.
You couldn't handle more than one.
The children. You're keeping me away from dinner. I have dinner with Jeff Mills and Alejandro Reyes and James Wedmore tonight. And I think Karen Kwan, and good times, we'll see. So I'm in the beautiful city of San Francisco, and actually I'm in shock right now for all of you that are here. I am absolutely in shock. How many of you have been to San Francisco? Anybody live in this area? If any of you live in this area right now, send me an email tonight. I have an offer for you. I'm at a conference or workshop that you should come to. But or if any of you wants to show up to San Francisco tomorrow, just let me know. But anyway, I'm in shock because there's no fog. I live in San Francisco, and I've only experienced like maybe 10 nights in the 2 or 3 months I lived here that didn't have fog. And it's completely non-foggy, so I'm going to go outside and smoke a cigar, as I like to do. All right, so jumping back, why don't we open up your PowerPoint and see if we can cover anything in the next like 5 minutes without your wife hating me forever and ever, all men.
I think we've kind of pretty much covered it without
looking at it. You think we got it all covered?
Yeah. Let's just have a quick bang grab.
I want to ask a couple of questions of everyone else then really quick, because this PowerPoint, is everyone pleased with what you've learned today? Have you learned some good stuff? Come on now, I want to get some responses. Let's love it. Good. Yes. Awesome. Yes, I am. Great. All right. See, this is positive reinforcement for me, because this is not something I normally do. All right. Good stuff, guys. Thank you. Now, here's what I have a next question for you. We had homework last week. It's been 7 days since I last gave you a homework assignment. And what we should have done, Richard and I, because I was traveling, I flew into the wrong airport and had to take a train up here and all kinds of nonsense. So there was a little bit of a lag that we didn't get to plan for this like we planned to or intended to. We didn't get to talk about what we're going to talk about first, which is why this call started off a little awkward, a little rocky. But I want to bring it back now and pretend we're at the beginning of the call. So pretending we're at the beginning of the call. 7 freaking days ago, I gave you some homework. Can you tell me how many of you right here have done your homework thus far? How many of you? Did you go and create? All right, we got good. I'm proud of you. Good, excellent stuff. I went through, I read all of the blog comments on the that you guys left, and there's some very good things. Bob did some of the theme of Bobbers, the homework. She bought a special notepad, very nice. All right, so you guys are on it. I'm happy to hear that. If you didn't do it, you know, just let me know, and we'll make sure that you never talk to me again. No, it's playing. But seriously, make sure you follow through on that homework from last week if you haven't yet. Homework for this week is going to be taking the same elements. I know I could give you step-by-steps now, but I think it would probably be a little more powerful if I let Richard do that tomorrow. The same way he did last week, he'll send you out a really important, powerful PDF that tells you exactly what we talked about, how it made sense, and what you can do to put this into action in your own business. Because hopefully by the end of this call, you guys have a little bit better idea of how to search for a market that makes sense and how you can, because finding a market's not hard, but finding a market that is justifiable is a little bit more difficult. Neil asked what the homework was. Neil, you have the recordings. I don't like to repeat myself. I'm just kidding. Check out the recordings, brother. There's some good content on that call that should be able to help you out quite a bit. So that's all I have for now. We can definitely crank out a lot of different things. Gene, thank you very much for saying that you have a much better idea of what to do. It's our pleasure to be here for you. These calls are for you guys. I mean, obviously, my goal with this, as Richard's mentor, is to be able to bring him along and show him some new ways to increase his income, and to be able to teach in new ways. But the end goal of all of this is not for his benefit, not for my benefit. It's to walk away, stepping outside of what most people have done, you know, with just trying to sell you random crap information, and trying to actually step outside of that and give you stuff you can use and will use. So that's good stuff. Really quick, for Neil's benefit, where are the recordings, Richard? First off, Neil, check your email. You should have received that. But Richard, where are the recordings at?
The link is nichedominationsecrets.com/getyourfiles.html. I'll actually pull up the page now and show you.
All right, and if you don't speak British ease, that is nichedomination.com.
Thanks, Eric.
All right. Lynn says, can we also have the link on the main names that Richard sent from a friend's presentation a while back? Do you have that off the top of your head, my friend?
I can put that in the call tomorrow. That was Jason DeVelvis.
Jason's awesome. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, if you guys don't know Jason, Jason's content is very concise, and it'll teach you a lot of really good things. All right. This is a great night, great info. Thank you, Colleen. You're awesome. Scott, thank you for letting us motivate you. Scott says, you guys, this class motivates me. Good stuff. Lauren says, are you selling not to sell QuickPick affiliate products, but to create our own? That is my system, Lauren. I don't do much affiliate promotions. Now, I have a system that I'm actually been working in recently, and we're just now starting to do some major things with this, but we are out of time. I can't talk about it now. Richard, can you add that to the list to talk about? Maybe we'll do a bonus call or something. I really don't know. The problem is I actually kind of like talking, especially like the 8 or 10 people who've been talking to me all night, via these questions and answers.
We can go for like 10 minutes. If you want.
No, that's all right. I'm dedicated downstairs by 7:30. So
okay,
Lauren, we'll talk about how I'm doing some really cool things with Richard on just finding random niche markets we'd never get into otherwise, promoting affiliate products to them, developing lists, and then using this list to promote our own products as time goes on. So that's pretty cool stuff, and it's using Google, which is always fun. All right, let's see here. Scott Bailey, don't you find affiliates after you have a product up and running? Scott, here's another really important tip for you guys that I can recommend above and beyond everything else. Now, Richard has proven last week when he sold, or 2 weeks ago when he sold you this course, he proved that the money is in the list. All right? Now, when you have a list of people who like, know, and trust you, you can make money by promoting them products, ideas, concepts, free material. You will eventually build profit for yourself. Now, I agree with that, and I do build lists. I actually don't as much as most people do. In fact, my call to action tonight for all of you, I'm gonna have a call to action for you guys to join my list and to get involved in my blog and my Twitter and that kind of thing, and Richard as well, because I'm trying to change my ways a bit. But my reason for telling you this is because there's actually a very important thing about finding affiliates and having a list, and that's that having a list is important, but having a list of affiliates or JV partners is the most important. The list I have that makes me the most money of any list I've ever had has less than 200 people on it. All right, last count was like 161 people. All right, that's my affiliate list. It's my ClickBank affiliate list. It's the people that every time I create a new product, I drop them an email and say, hey guys, I have a new product. You know my style. I'm promoting this via launch to a couple of lists, and then I'm done. So if you want to make some money with it, here are some basic advertising ideas. Let me know if I can write specific copy for your list. Let me know if I can write specific copy for whatever you want to do with it. We are here to help you, period. All right? You guys are with me on this now. It makes sense. And Scott says that's leverage. It's absolutely right. So leverage is absolutely the way it should be. All right, so leverage yourself as far as you can. The way the world is right now, leverage is everything. So, again, find a list is great, but finding an affiliate list is better. Call to action now at 7:25, and I've literally been on a monologue for the last 25 minutes solid. call to action now for you guys. Go to www. You can actually do this with them. www.ericfarewell.com. That's ericfarewell.com. All right. Ericfarewell.com. It's a terrible picture of me. I'm serious. I don't really look like that. But site has to be redesigned, and you know how it is. You pretty much never follow through on redesigning the things that are actually important. So go to the right side of the page where it says subscribe to my newsletter. Type in your name and your email address. Now, I can steal your name and email address from the buyers list, but I'd rather actually have you on there if you want to be. I very rarely email my list, and I promise you when I do, it's very funny because it usually says, hey, guys, I promise I'll email you more often, and I promise to make it funny. And that's pretty much my only email. So I'm trying to build a little bit better following there, so please take some time and do that for me. It'd be a lot of fun to have you on there. So other than that, two things you need to do after that. This is the direct homework for tonight that you can do before you get off the computer and go to sleep up throughout the East Coast. The first one is going to be going to www.twitter.com. And if you don't have an account, get one. After you've done that, twitter.com/RichardLegg. Show me your page, Richard.
Okay.
twitter.com/RichardLegg. And that's with two G's, like any proper Englishman. All right. All right, this is his lovely site. All right, so what you want to do is, what's that?
It's been 3 days since I've updated.
Dude, you're slacking. I only updated like 5 times today. I had a crazy week, man. I'll have to fill you in, but it's been the same. And if you go to mine, you want to click follow. If you look over here on the right side of the page, which is 188 following, you'll be able to click that when you're over there. Follow, or might be below his last thing. I don't know. It's around there somewhere. Follow Richard. Follow me. Start tweeting because you can actually gain access to people you would never have access to otherwise. Like, for instance, in my life, chances are if you send me an email, I will not reply. And the reason being is that you are very likely going to send me an email that is way too long for me to take the time to reply to it and go through it. And it's nothing against you. But if you send me a direct message or you tweet my name, it's 140 characters, so I can't ignore you. It's very, very difficult to ignore something because you got to the point quickly. Brevity is important, and it will give you access not just to me, but it will give you access to a lot of other gurus you would not otherwise have. So I encourage you, check out my blog. There's some funny articles on there. Check out Richard's site. Go and add comments to that last post. I'm sure that after this, you guys may have learned some new things. I'd love to get your feedback on that. Sign up for Twitter. Follow us up. The other thing that you can check out, you might want to consider doing, is below the last post on the nichedomination.com/blog. I had this right. Nichedomination.com/blog, right?
Niche Domination Secrets. All right.
I don't know if it's like, nichedominationsecrets.com. My bad. All right. Scroll to the very bottom. Do you have that new article, new blog post down there or no?
New one?
Oh, you don't have it yet.
I'll do a follow-up for tonight.
Okay.
Afterwards.
Okay. What Richard is going to do, we talked about it. I guess he slacked off and forgot about it because he was helping me out earlier. what we're going to throw up there in the next 5 minutes is a quick Q&A post. And what I'd like you to do, we're probably going to end up having to separate it into one more call, or we're going to do something else for you. I'm not sure exactly what yet. We'll record it when we can. We'd love to have you just go ahead and leave your comments on that blog post. It'll be the very bottom post on the page. So if you didn't get your questions answered tonight, feel free to leave them there. If you come up with random questions during the week, between the time we talk, add them there. That way we can actually, follow up with you. I'm doing my best to help you out any way we can, and Richard's doing the same. So Neil says we must be using the same photographer.
Eric is the photographer.
Same camera. How's that? Same camera. I took Richard's picture, but somebody else was using my camera and took mine. So, all right. Scott says that Richard, he's been on Richard's list for a long time, and the dude has a lot of integrity. Great guy. Amen to that. He's a good man.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate that.
All right, guys. Well, listen, it's 7:30 p.m. out here on the West Coast, the Left Coast, and it's 10:30 back East. I greatly enjoyed this call and got to ramble on for forever and a day, which is apparently the reason why Richard likes me, but I don't know about you guys. So thank you very much for showing up. Thank you for being a part of it. Richard, thanks for having me again, brother. This is always a blessing. And
thank you, Eric. Pleasure.
If anybody is in the area, yeah, my pleasure, man. If it was in San Francisco, check out illuminateconference.com. Once again, illuminateconference.com. There is a workshop here in San Francisco this weekend, the first ever Christian Marketers Conference, which is pretty cool. So, good stuff, guys.
Okay, so the blog there, the new post, module 2 follow-up. I'll update some of that later, but if you want to leave a comment, leave a question, you can do that. Just click on comments button, use comment box, and leave whatever questions you want. We obviously didn't have time to answer everybody here, but if you leave something there, we can get back to you, or I can try and answer them in the workbook.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a great evening. Again, if we could do anything for you, we've got your back. We'll leave the thing open for another like 40 seconds or so you can keep commenting. It was illuminateconference.com, Scott. Illuminateconference.com. It starts tomorrow morning. I'm speaking, supposed to speak tomorrow afternoon, but I thought I was speaking Saturday, so hopefully they can change it so I can actually write my speech. But Richard, thank you so much again. Everybody, thank you. I'm going to go have some dinner. Yeehaw. Cheers, guys.
Thank you. We'll see you all next week.